Okay, so I mentioned in my last podcast that I would be doing a separate one about a little bit of a negative side of travel, especially in poorer countries like Egypt. It's not terrible. It's just kind of a fact of life. And I think if you're going to travel to places, you just have to kind of be aware of it and not let it, like, ruin your time. Because I think if you get into that negative cycle of thinking, you can let it bug you. And it did start to bug me today, and that was partly due to my lack of sleep and just it having a long day and everything. But basically, I'm just going to call it the hustle. You know, when you're an American, even if you're just like an average American or Western or whatever, I mean, you're basically, you know, a lot of people will look at you as just a mark, a target, a piggy bank, a way to get money. Not all. I mean, and actually not most. It's actually, I think there's different gradations. I think there's people that like literally see you as like, oh, he's got money and I can get some money from him. And then there's other people that are like genuinely friendly, but they still have an angle to that they're trying to pursue. And so I would say there's, okay, if I were to just come up with a spectrum on the spot, I would say like people that are just literally see you as a mark. And then there's people who are mostly have an angle, but are just kind of are showing you some probably at least partially friendliness as long as they think they can get something from you. And then I would move over to people who are predominantly friendly, but are, you know, hoping to get something from you. And then all the way to like people who are just genuinely being completely friendly and they don't have any ulterior motive. And it's hard to know which is which. Like I went out in the street the other night and just started hanging out with these dudes out on the street, and they were just genuinely, what I took from them is they were just genuinely friendly. They were curious about me. Like here's this like American just in our little neighborhood, and we're all hanging out smoking cigarettes and just goofing around, and none of them asked me for anything. None of them like tried to sell me on anything or tours or tried to get me to like come into their shops or anything. We were just hanging out, and like they were teaching me like some funny words. I have no idea what they're teaching me. It was probably like totally dirty stuff, but they were just in that one moment. That's like I've talked before about having authentic experiences, and that was just literally like a half an hour to 45 minutes of just hanging out with some random dudes. It was completely spontaneous. It wasn't set up. It wasn't whatever. And we were just joking around, laughing, and like, you know, and they didn't ask me for anything. I didn't ask anything from them other than just like, hey, do you want, you know, I got them to be on the podcast or whatever. So maybe I'm the ulterior motive, you know, I'm the scammer, but, so that was like what I would consider on the very far to the, I guess if we're looking at it from left to right, on the right side. And usually the ones that are literally, usually the people that are literally like just trying to get something from you, they're pretty easy to spot, and they're, you know, they're coming up and they're like, you know, here, buy this. And, you know, it's pretty easy to just kind of brush that off. So if you're traveling, you know, I think you just have to have a thick skin and you just have to keep walking. I remember when Aaron, my friend Aaron and I walked through the old part of Dubai, and they just have these hawkers basically. And you just don't engage. You just don't look them in the eye. You just keep walking. You might say a, you know, quick little, like, shokran, like, you know, no thank you. Actually, I don't know the word, I forget the word for no, but there's, like, a word for no, and then you add shokran to the end, and they kind of leave you alone. And then there's the important phrase, mishaiz, which is, like, I don't need it, I don't want it. And that usually stops them. So I would say that like that's pretty harmless. It's annoying, but it's like, you know, it's to be expected. If you're in Mexico, you've had the vendors come, you know, you're just trying to like lay on the beach and relax, and then the vendors are like, whatever. It's like that kind of thing. Then there's the people who kind of have mostly an angle, but they're being friendly to you. So the other day when I was walking over to the museum, there was a couple of those incidents. One where this guy was like pretty well dressed. He had like this button down shirt on. He's like, "Hey, I think he guessed accurately that I was looking for the museum. He's like, "Oh, hey, Mister, the museum is this way. Come here this way." And I'm like, "Oh, thank you." And he's like, "What's your name?" And I'm like, "Zach." And he's like, "Where are you from?" "America." Blah, blah, blah. So he was like outwardly friendly, but I could just tell like, okay, there's an agenda. He's like, "Oh, so are you doing any tours?" And I'm like, "Okay." So he wants to hook me in. I'm like, "Oh, I've already got a tour." He's like, "Really? Like whatever, you know?" It's like, "Or do you have a hotel?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I have a hotel. I have a tour." So, and then he's like, "Oh, you should see," you know, he was just like, he had backup lines just rehearsed or whatever. And he was friendly, but I could tell it was a little bit of a false front. Or it was probably mainly, I would say it was mainly a false front. It's a little bit harder to spot, and it's a little bit harder to deflect, because they'll throw in a lot of stuff, like they'll ask questions about you and like where you're from, and a lot of it seems genuine, and a certain percentage of it could be genuine. But if it's anything like the experience I had in the Grand Bazaar in Turkey, where this guy was like super friendly, and like I was just looking at hookahs, he just was talking to me like as a buddy or whatever, and then it was just like there was this point where he could just tell, or he just knew I wasn't going to buy anything, and he just turned on me, and he literally called me the N-word, which I thought was ridiculous, and I mean, I was so taken aback, I just thought it was silly and stupid, but he's like, you're a redneck, and then bleep, you know, N-word is better than you, and I'm like, oh my God, are you serious? You're crazy. That was a pretty extreme but eye-opening thing, where this guy was like being friendly for me, like super friendly to me for like 10 minutes. And the minute he just saw that I was a lost cause, he just turned on me. That was pretty extreme. And then there's the one there, then there's people who are, I would say predominantly friendly, but with an angle. And that's really a hard thing, because a lot of times they could be your guide. They could be somebody that you hang out with for most of the day, and you start to build a rapport with, and you start to build like sort of a trust with, and like, in some cases they're helping you avoid other people's scams and stuff. For me, that's the hardest category, what I say. And when I say category, I just made these up on the spot, so it's not like some universal thing, guys. But to me, that's like the hardest category to deal with, because, like, let's say you have a guide and they're just super great. You know, you build this rapport, you get to know them throughout the day. Like you're talking about their family or whatever, you know, and all this stuff, and you've already like paid for the guide service and stuff, but then all this stuff's going out through the day, and then they like kind of hit you up for this other thing, and it's like it just feels like they're still like angling, and they're selling, and you're like, so you feel like some of that rapport has been lost, because like they're still hustling. And you've kind of like gotten to know them and have starting to think of them as a friend, but then you realize, well, they're still hustling, so are they really my friend or whatever? And it just feels like a little bit of a like mini betrayal. So that's the hardest one to deal with, and that for me, like, that can sometimes sour like a good experience and make it like a bad experience, or threaten to make it a bad experience, or at least like take some of the bloom off the rose, if you will. I'll just relate. So I had this long train ride down here to Luxor, and Star picks me up, and so I've already like negotiated the whole tour package or whatever, and I knew that entrance fees weren't included. I knew that like alcohol wasn't included, and I think meals were not included. So I knew I was still going to have to spend some money or whatever. And also, I had done the Giza thing, and then they hit me up for the camel ride, which I kind of expected anyway. I just was like going along with it. So I really, really wasn't like, and I don't think that Magit really like hard sold that to me. He's like, do you want to do the camel, or we can, he's like, you don't have to, you know, we can just drive up to the place where the cars go, and then we can do that and just like see the pyramids that way. And that's totally fine. But once I said, let's do the camel, then I'm sure they have like a whole kickback thing or whatever, but it's totally to be expected. And he wasn't hard selling it to me. And he did help me negotiate a better rate. Now, whether that was like the true rate and he just made it just for appearances, that remains, it's hard to know. But, back to Star, super nice guy. We're talking, and then he's like, before we even go to the place for the tour, he's like, oh, we're going to stop here. So I have to ask you, do you want to do a balloon ride? And I'm like, I'm just exhausted. So I'm not in a good frame of mind. And I'm like, I don't know, how much is it? You know? And he's like, well, it's like $90. I don't really want to, but then a part of me is also thinking, like, I turned down the balloon ride thing in Cappadocia, and I always kind of regretted it. I thought it would have been a cool experience. Cappadocia, Turkey. This was back in, when was it? When I went to Turkey with Nicole. I always thought, like, oh, I should have just bit the bullet and did that balloon ride. So I'm like, so how much is it? It's $90. All right. Can I use a credit card? He's like, oh, it's cash. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, it'd be nice if I could use a credit card. He's like, oh, don't worry. We can, you go on your tour today, and then when you come back, like, we can arrange it so that you can use a credit card. I'm like, all right. So that's where we left it. So we went and did the tours that day. And then come back, and then Star picks me up and takes me over to this little travel office. I am tired, and it was super hot today, and I'm just like ready to just crash and just drink a bunch of water and just sleep. But I got to do this whole balloon ride thing. All right, so I go there, and takes out the credit card machine. And he's like, oh, your PIN number. And I'm like, it doesn't have a PIN. And he's like, oh, well, he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, my debit card has a PIN. My credit card doesn't have a PIN. It's just, that's not how it works. And I've used the same credit card to buy other things. And it just doesn't. So I don't know what, you know. And he's like, oh, well, do you have another card? I'm like, and I'm just getting, I'm letting my ugly American side come out, and I'm just like, you know, hemming and hawing and just going, ugh, you know, like, I don't really even want to do this. I didn't really even want to do this balloon ride, and it seems expensive. Oh, and okay. So the other thing was, he's like, oh, so $95, and he's like doing the calculations, and something's just not adding up. And firstly, I'm like, you told me it was 90, and I know it's $5 difference, but this is just an annoying thing. And actually, every other experience, like, they've been super, super diligent about making sure that, like, I know that the price that they quoted me is the price that they're giving me. Like when I negotiated the Camel Ride down from, like, 85 to 70, you know, he shows me, okay, 70, and here's the exchange rate I'm using, and we're going to do it in Egyptian pounds. And, like, so he shows that to me before he runs the... I mean, this has happened several times. They show me the amount before they run the card. I'm like, yep, that all looks good. But this time it was, like, 95. And I'm like, I thought you said 90. Oh, no, 95. And I'm like, okay. And then even the 95, when I was calculating it, it was coming... When I was calculating the amount that he was showing me in Egyptian pounds, it was coming in at, like, 100-something. And I'm just like... And I know it's just, like, a small thing, but it's just on top of, like, the hard sell for the thing and it being expensive, me not really wanting to do it, me being super tired, me being, like, just not, I don't know, it just was, like, the straw that broke the camel's back, literally. No, figuratively, but since they have camels here, I think I can say literally, get away with saying literally once. So I just was, like, throwing a mini tantrum. And he's like, ugh, you know. And then I go, you know what? I don't want to do it. I just forget it. Forget the balloon ride. And then me and Star had an uncomfortable walk to this place, the floating hotel. Which, by the way, it's just an aside. We, like, have to walk through this, like, construction site and then walk through, like, two other boats to get to this boat. It was just fun. It's just a funny thing. But I was just, like, in this mood. Actually, I was feeling sheepish for having kind of lost my cool. And I wasn't really blaming Star. He's just doing his job, and he's, you know, he's got to hustle. And everybody here has got to hustle, man. They got to feed their families and whatever. But just for me, I was just, like, he's, like... You know, and I think he sincerely felt bad. He's like, you seem angry. And I'm like, well, I'm just tired of, like, everybody wants, you know, me to buy, and, you know, da 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 da. And so so then it was like this uncomfortable thing, because he's like walking me to the floating hotel, barge, ship, I don't know what you want to call it. He has to make sure that I get sort of checked in. So he's standing there with me, and I didn't really, like, go crazy. I just sort of, like, made a gasp, and I said, no, I don't want to do that thing. And I was just being, like, Mr. Grumpopotamus or whatever. But it still was a little uncomfortable. Yeah, so I felt bad because he was a nice guy, and just, you know, having him come and pick me up at the train station that day and everything, I just didn't want, you know, and I'm going to see him tomorrow, and then I think he's going to take me to the train station when I leave and everything. So it's just one of those things that you just have to deal with, and I think you have to do a better job than I did of not letting it get to you and just... And maybe there's other strategies. And if you've traveled and you've had strategies for dealing with, like, this kind of thing, like the hard sell, the hustle, whatever you want to call it. And like I said, for me, the really hard sell where they're just selling and they don't give a shit about me. To me, that's easy. I can just deflect that. The hardest thing is when it's like a genuinely a nice person, but they're angling, and you've built a little bit of a rapport with them, and they're still they still are kind of angling. That to me, it just hurts a little bit, because you're just like, man, I thought we were buddies, I thought we were friends, you know, is this just all just a big con or whatever? And I think you just have to, like, you know, just a general thing, when you're tired, when you're hungry or whatever, you just have to take time and just, you know, like stop what you're doing and go, look, look, I'm just tired. I need some rest, or I need to get something to eat, whatever. You can't let those moments where your defenses are down and you feel depleted to like ruin an otherwise good trip. Cause other, I mean, honestly, it like this, like trip has been amazing. And the Egyptian part has been part, one of the most amazing parts. And it's only, I'm only kind of just getting started. I mean, but it's just, it's going to be a super memorable experience. So it's just going to be a tiny little blip on what otherwise is a good experience. I just needed to get some sleep, and I feel so much better now that I've got some rest. So, that's it. If you guys have any other, thoughts or strategies that you've used when you've traveled, for dealing with that kind of thing, I'd love to hear them. If you have just any other horror stories or stuff, you know, definitely, you know, comment or DM me or whatever. Yeah, it's all good. It's all just part of the game, the ups and downs of travel. They're going to be there. It's not going to be just like candy canes and rainbows. You know, it is, travel can be a stressful thing and an ordeal. And, you know, the expression, you know, I need a vacation from my vacation is a very true statement. So, yeah, that's it.